Naked Talk Radio with Elena, weekdays at noon. Broadcasting live from the WKRPradio.com world headquarters.
Gotta get dead. Gotta get dead. Gotta get dead. Gotta get dead.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Naked Talk Radio, where we cover all things dating, relationships, and love. You can call in with your most important questions and comments to 877-699-4662, or you can always send me an email. I know not everybody's crazy about getting on the radio and asking really personal questions. I love it when you do, but if not, you can always send an email my way. Send it to Elena at nakedtalkradio.com. So, we have been talking about how to balance career and relationships, or how to balance work and play, as I like to put it. And now joining the conversation from my hometown in Los Angeles and to share his unique expertise is Barry Selby. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Barry is the creator of Match Magnetics, where he works with singles and couples to have amazing relationships where they are living purposefully and authentically and ultimately fulfilling their potential. Barry, welcome to Naked Talk Radio.
Hi, Elena. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing very well, enjoying sunny Southern California, which I know you know well.
I do know sunny California. I try to get there at least a few times a year, but I love it there. I love it there. You're not originally from California, though, I can tell.
That's true.
You're from Texas, did you say? I'm just kidding.
No, not quite.
Not so much, no. So you are really an expert on this topic, and one of the things I like to do is get naked with my guests and find out kind of how you even came to find yourself doing this. And for most of us, it's sort of experiential. But first, I want to talk a little bit about, I want to just get sort of your input on this. And I get the impression that this may be even more of a challenge for women than for men. So I'm going to ask the question like this. How do women balance career and relationship?
That is quite an interesting question to ask because there's so many pieces. But the core of it is always about priority and balance. And you may have already talked about this. But for women, a lot of times, the focus is to be in the business world. They put on the masculine mold, the hat, the focus, and the mindset that men do to compete and to be in the arena. When it comes to a relationship, they don't yet comfortably learn how to disengage that, reclaim their own femininity. Because in the business world, the feminine aspect is rarely respected. So to be in that world functionally, many women are in that masculine mindset. They're about getting things done and competitiveness and to get a result versus embracing the fullness of life and being in flow and harmony and cooperation.
That is a really good point. Can I just tell you, in my relationship, I was married for 17 years, and I was the one who worked. I was the provider, and my husband was the stay-at-home dad. So that was very, very true. I very much had to use my man brain at work to be respected. I was the assistant director of the largest dating service in the country, and it was hard to shut that down. I didn't know how to shift into a more feminine space, and it's not like I didn't look feminine. You know, I would wear high heels and curl my hair, and I looked feminine, but there wasn't a whole, by the time I walked through that door, there was not a lot of femininity dripping off of me. And then just to make it even more complex, he had the other thing going, which was bake sales and newspaper drives and helping the kids with homework and things that were much more feminine. And when we talk about masculine and feminine, we're not really talking about girl and guy as much as different aspects. We all have both of those aspects, but you know, we really have to step into one more than the other sometimes. And what happened for us was we just got kind of lost in that.
Right.
So very, very true. So let me ask you this, then how do women even have a solid career, like really be respected and move up in the business world and create an amazing relationship?
Well, there's several pieces, again, because working with various clients, I've learned from them what is their challenges too. A large piece of that is to have the ability to separate the two.
Yes.
You know, the challenge, and this is true for men too, frankly. When men come home from work, they don't have to disengage and become a family person or to become a lover. They become a fighter at work and a lover at home. They don't know how to connect the two, and it's a really challenging place to be. And women, it's a challenge also because they take on that, as you said, it, the man brain. They take on the focus of getting things done. When they come home, it's almost like, what do you mean take a bath and relax and nurture myself? I can't do that. I'm busy.
Do you know who I am? Yeah, exactly. And so there's got to be some, you know, trigger. I mean, for me as a hypnotherapist, I can work with people's subconscious mind. I can give them a post-hypnotic suggestion to help sort of shift from their masculine energy to their feminine energy. What do you have any little tricks or tips or tools for women to be able to make that shift?
Sure. I mean, and it's funny you say that, having the post-hypnotic triggers. It can be as simple, frankly, nowadays have a PDA or a smartphone, but having a reminder, like when you're driving home, maybe you have your alarm and your phone set to remind you for the women to set to change gears, metaphorically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get home, they may take, you know, 10 minutes to go in their room and just to breathe and to remind them who they are and come back to core. And there are various exercises I have for clients, as well as, it can be, I mean, yes, take a bath or do a spa thing, that's a bigger investment of time. But taking the moment to simply refocus alone can be huge, transform the focus from business to relationship. And it can be that simple. And it's just little things that can be done, which can be reminders. It could be a chance just to release and talk the day out, to vent it out, so you can just drop it and become present.
Right.
You know, there are both ways.
Yeah. I love the idea of setting an alarm. You know, people think that somehow that negates it because it's so planned. But frankly, you know, not planning things is exactly what doesn't work. You know,
right.
The same is true for sex. I say it all the time. Planned sex is better than spontaneous, non-existent sex, right? And so the same...
Well, I was going to say, you say that and say, well, the truth is, you're not planning what you're doing. You're planning when you're doing it.
Yeah, you're just making sure it happens. And if you think about it, anything else that's really important to us, we make sure it happens. We make sure, you know, whatever those things are, and that doesn't negate the value of those things getting done. So I love the idea of setting an alarm. That's a simple, simple way. And, you know, it could even be that you have a certain CD that you listen to. You know, if you don't, let's say somebody doesn't have a smartphone, but they've got a CD player in their car on your way home from work. That's a good way to shift gears. Music.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, yeah, and it is something that can be done in just the short trip from work to home, so that by the time you get home, you are really in that space. And like you said, being present, I think that's really important, whether it's physically or emotionally. When we're not present, our partner definitely feels that disconnect. Mm-hmm. So that is an important piece of it for sure. Now, you talk about the way women do relationship as the Groundhog Day effect. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mentioned it in one thing I was writing about this. And the truth is, and I won't say it's not true for men, but certainly women are seeing this a lot. As I work a lot with women. What happens is, there's a tendency for somebody, and I say a woman, for example, but I don't want to blame them on this because men do it too. But women will choose to be in a relationship with somebody new, yet the old patterns seem to keep coming up. And this happens again and again. They may discover they're getting abandonment stuff happening, or they may be feeling even abused mentally, emotionally. So they'll leave that relationship, go to another one, and it starts happening all over again. And it seems to be like repeating, but with a different face, a different name. And really what it comes down to is the piece they aren't taking care of is the one common denominator, which is themselves.
Yes.
They're feeding the patterns again and again because they haven't chosen to feel that inside themselves, so they don't attract that sort of partner.
Interesting. There's this saying, wherever you go, there you are.
and that is...
Yeah, exactly. And it's so true in relationships. It's not, you know, sometimes we're with somebody and it's legitimately not a good fit. And what there is to do is complete that relationship and put ourselves out there to meet somebody who is a better fit. But when we're continuously attracting the same kind of person, the same kind of circumstances, the same kind of issues, we are the common denominator. And it's funny because it's not about beating yourself up, right? It's about finding power in accountability. If it's everybody else's fault, you're just a victim of your circumstances and you're just out of luck, you know? But if if you are the common denominator, you can do something about that, and you have the power to create it differently. And that's the important piece. So I totally agree with that. And you think it happens more with women than men?
I don't have a survey, so I can't get the facts on this. It feels like, I mean, most of my clients, who mostly women, have that. However, I know I did myself in my history too, so I'm not saying it wasn't true for men.
Sure.
But I know women have this experience. So, to be honest, I won't say it's only women or more women, because I don't have the data to back it up.
Right.
I don't want to prove myself to be a liar.
Right. Well, and if you work with mostly women, then let's say you worked with 65% women, 35% men, it's going to appear like it comes up more often with women, for sure. I work more often with men, and I have to say, it's not uncommon for men to, how would I say it? I guess, draw in women who bring up the same stuff for them too.
Right.
And it's, you know, sometimes it's a certain type of person, or sometimes it's a certain type of feeling. It really depends, but if it's familiar, there's something to look at.
Right, definitely.
Definitely. So you obviously have a passion about women and women having extraordinary relationships and not settling for less than they really want. Where did that all come from? And you know, what's your view on that?
Well, I guess I need to get naked on my history in some ways. If you ask that question, I've been in the journey of personal growth, human development, psychology for 25 years now. And I didn't realize, growing up in England, and that's where I'm from, by the way, not Texas, I came from a very stable, straight-laced family. My dad was very, you know, stoic and stiff upper lip, being English type, you know, not very emotional. And I was stuck in that same model initially, but then I found myself frustrated, wanted to break out of it, and I started the journey that opened up myself to who I was emotionally and heart-based. And so it's much time in heart-based service environments, that when I started meeting women who I was attracted to, I was attracted to their strength. But I didn't know the difference at that time between the feminine power and the masculine modality. So I was attracting women who were in their masculine energy, and we would have a relationship where I couldn't compete with them in the masculine side. And even though I'm definitely a male, straight, masculine person, I would end up being more in a feminine relationship, and there'd be the masculine, kind of like you're saying with your husband. That was the sort of relationships I propagated. I was the more nurturing one of the two. I'd be the more supplicant one of the two. And it was interesting how I felt frustrated, but I didn't know why. And I wasn't wearing my true heart and being authentic to myself. And what I saw with these women is they weren't living true to themselves. Yes, they were strong. Yes, they were dominant. But they were aching to be taken care of and nurtured at the depth of their soul. And I saw where there was a gap there. And that drew me to the work I did for the last 4 years of studying teachers and trainings that really opened me up now. Not only be back to who I'm meant to be and who I really am with an open heart and a strong backbone, but also where I can serve women to have them be more authentic in their hearts, in their passion, and in their loins.
Mm. In their passion and in their loins. Loins. Loins is just one of those words that is not used often enough. Note to self. Put loins in there more often. That's perfect. Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that we, you know, it's easy to, again, I always talk about the sweet spot. You know, sometimes we go a little too far to the left. And so we're like, wow, I didn't mean to be so far over here. And then we swing maybe a little too far to the right. And we go, whoa, that was overkill. And it just takes a little while sometimes to get that. But which is what I heard in your sharing, you know, you started off sort of following your father's footsteps, more stoic and head oriented, not heart oriented, and then sort of swung the other way. And so do you feel like you've found that balance? And even more interestingly, we'll go ahead and answer that question first. I have a little ADD in my questions. I've got like six of them lined up. No, go ahead and answer that question first.
Ask the question again, so I just get it, because you were about to go to the second point, and I was waiting for that one.
Yeah. You know what? Let's forget it. Let's just go straight to the second one. So if part of who you are, I mean, is it about seeking perfect balance in yourself of masculine and feminine, and then finding somebody else who has also been able to seek out that perfect balance? Or is it okay for you to be a little bit more in your feminine and have her be a little bit more in her masculine? Does that make for a good fit, or is it better if you're in your feminine for her to be in her feminine?
That's a loaded question.
I know. There are still like, yeah, there's still like three questions in that question. But in other words,
let me see if I can answer it though.
Yeah.
Let me back it up a second. So, first of all, I always enjoyed my sex life, so there was never a problem on the fact that we weren't in the right balance, and we're not. So definitely that was okay. However, what the truth is that I wasn't being authentic to myself and nor were my partners. And what doesn't count is not perfect balance, it comes down to being authentic. And I'm very clear for me, why I work with women and with men, and myself, is to be authentic as much as you can in everything we do. And in the sexual polarity, it's about a balance, and not the balance how you might think of it. In the old days, we talked about how relationships were 50-50, give and take, and this sort of thing. And I think we missed the mark. I believe relationships are 100-100, and not 100% man, 100% woman, but it's a combined balance of 100% masculine, 100% feminine, because we each have, as you said, both within us. So, for example, I probably naturally reside around 70% masculine, 30% feminine. And a woman who I'd be balanced and a good match with would be the inverse of that. And if that's natural, then we're perfectly okay with each other. What I would find, if I find a woman who's in her masculine more than her feminine, we wouldn't be a good fit, and I'd probably feel that pretty quickly. So it's not about being perfect balance, it's about having a right fit that is authentic. If that answers that part of the question.
Okay.
Now, you had another part of the question, which I'm not sure if I got to in that response. It's got some pieces.
Well, okay, so let's say somebody... So I agree. It really is about finding our authentic self, which is tricky because, you know, we've got beliefs we've inherited. We've been trained to think certain things. We've been groomed to be a certain way. And then we get out into the world and some of it doesn't fit. And so, you know, sort of like phase one is to go, all that stuff I thought I was going to do or supposed to be isn't really me. And then phase two is like, well, then who the hell am I? And so there's some work that needs to be done in terms of figuring stuff out for ourselves. But let's say once we've gotten to that place, and we have just truly discovered, like, I have just truly discovered that while I have very much been able to tap into my more feminine side more than ever before, I still, I don't even know how to say it, you know, choose, feel comfortable in, feel like it's authentic for me to have the degree of masculine energy that I have, which is, you know, which drives a lot of what I do, right? In business, even the talking and certainly in executing things, you know? So I don't want to give that up. I feel like it feels right. Like I've got a pretty good sense of it, right? For myself. But it is probably a little heavier on the masculine than it is for other people. And so let's say I meet somebody. Let me ask you this. Who's going to be a good fit for me? Is it going to be somebody who maybe is a little heavier on the feminine side? Or does none of that really matter as long as the balance is there within yourself?
Well, people don't walk around with a sign on in front of them as scale. Let's make that clear right up front. Because that's the thing.
You know, there's no litmus test?
Right. But what they... It must be easier. Okay, let's have a look. Your color code is more orange, so you're more in the masculine. Okay, and you're more in the pink, you're more in the feminine. No, it wouldn't work that way.
Yeah, maybe a urine sample, some definitive way to know. See, that's the masculine side of me.
And the thing is interesting because we don't always present ourselves authentically. Again, back to authenticity, because when in the bar scene or in social situations, men who may be naturally more in their more feminine side when they're in a relationship may put on the bravado and be strong and macho, is what was expected of them. So that dance of finding who somebody is and meeting them, getting to know them, takes a little bit of time. So there is a part of the puzzle, which is how do you meet somebody out in the world? And a lot of times what it comes down to is you've got to be authentic to who you are, and then by resonance, you'll meet somebody who matches that.
You'll just draw in people. I would agree. I think, and I think people who don't fit that, even though you like them or you want it to work or we're trying to make it work, I think they organically fall away.
Yeah.
And we have to trust, you know, we don't have to chase relationships that didn't work out. We can just kind of, we can kind of trust that, I think. So I would agree with you. I think some of it is really that we need to discover for ourselves as much, you know, gain as much clarity for ourselves as who we are in terms of who we are. And then we have to trust that we will draw in people. And really, I think dating is sort of like, you know, trying clothes on, and I totally mean that in a really great, respectful way. But it's like
the naked thing again. Yeah.
Sometimes they look good on the hanger, and you try it on, and it's just not a good fit. And you can't quite put your finger on it, but it just isn't you, or it's a little tight in the shoulders, or you know, sometimes. And we can't always tell until we're willing to invest the time to try it on. And I think that's kind of what dating is. So, will you stick around so I can ask you some more naked questions, Barry?
Certainly.
Okay, good. Hang in there. We will be right back. And when we return, we will get even more naked with Barry, find out a little bit about his personal relationship history and if and how that has impacted his work. You are listening to Naked Talk Radio.
The Mike Zinna Show.
Represent the rent is too damn high party.
Welcome to Radio G.
Playing a silly game, but it's not going to happen. The rent too damn high movement. The people I'm here to represent can't afford to pay their rent. Listen, someone's stomach just growled.
WKRPradio.com.
Gotta listen like me.
I'm Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, and I hail from Houston, Texas.
Who paid for that trip for you to go to that memorial service?
Well, those resources are resources that I have, and therefore,
I've been everywhere.
They are in a way that does not interfere with anything that has to do with serving the United States Congress.
Understood. So, public funds or?
Those resources are resources that I have. I'm Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, and I hail from Houston, Texas.
Baked with Steve, the Morning Bake on WKRPRadio.com. Morning Bake, mornings at 11 noon.
A successful website requires more than just attention to detail. Dawn Barnhart is Denver's premier website designer. Dawn's many innovative web design services effectively connect you with your client. Professional consulting, print and graphic design, blogs, website maintenance, and updates and analytics are all part of Dawn Barnhart's professional repertoire. To create a striking, powerful, and smart website, log on to www.dawnbarnhart.com. That's DawnBarnhart, dawnbarnhart.com.
My soul sisters, let me hear your flow sisters.
Hey sister, go sister, soul sister, flow sister.
Hello and welcome back to Naked Talk Radio. I am Elena McMillan and I always enjoy hearing what you have to say, so you can give me a call at 877-699-4662 or you can always send an email my way. Just send it to Elena, E-L-A-I-N-A, at nakedtalkradio.com. All right, I'm here with Barry Selby, relationship guide, coach, speaker, and catalyst. I love that, by the way, Barry, catalyst.
That's who I am.
But I got to tell you, it brought up a question for me. I'm wondering what exactly you are a catalyst for.
How do I start this? I've been an instigator and a change agent from when I was a kid, although I wouldn't call it such a nice title back then. I was a troublemaker as a kid.
That's nice, change agent. I'll let my kids know that one.
Because the truth was, I never fit into the paradigm I was raised in. And I'm grateful now looking back, but at the time I felt like I was an outsider. I was the recipient of a lot of ridicule and bullying when I was a kid because I didn't seem to fit in the standard model, which was what originally challenged me and put me into the whole journey I've taken. So looking back, I'm very grateful for it. And being the catalyst, you know, I watch things in the media and watch things in people's lives, and I once said, what if? I'm saying, no, there's a better way. I can feel that. So the catalyst in me wants to instigate and inspire, is probably a better word, inspire positive change and authentic expression. Because a lot of people fall into the old modality of fitting in, and basically they're reducing who they are to fit into a box they don't belong in.
Right, right. Now, does that ever... Okay, so you're encouraging the precipitation of authentic change. Do you ever find, or has it ever happened, that as a result of working with you, a couple authentically realizes that they're not a good fit?
Definitely, yes. I mean, it's not something I go for.
No,
again,
no.
You know, my focus is to have people who are authentic, because I see two people who are in a relationship because they should be, because their parents told them while they get married very young, and they're both suffering because they don't know it's okay to not be together.
Right.
That's a simple switch. And it's not like, you know, making people they should be alone or be together. It's what they're authentically lined up to be. And
yes.
I've seen people who were together for 15, 20 years, discover that they needed something different. They'd moved on, they'd matured, they'd grown, whatever that was, and they chose different, and they're much happier now.
Yes. Yeah, it's not a popular conversation. You know, there are people who are very serious about upholding that commitment. I think it might be worth taking a look at rewriting wedding vows, you know, not to be like, you know, I replacing till death do us part with until I change my mind, but to say, you know, I promise to continue to create the greatest life possible with you. And sometimes that might mean separating. It ultimately did in my relationship. And so that comes up for me sometimes too, not very often, but I do tell people, if you're looking for someone to save your marriage, without taking into consideration what truly serves each of you, then you probably should be looking to work with somebody else. So it is a tricky, it's a slippery slope, but you know, the bigger goal of truly being happy and being fully self-expressed, you know, for me, the way I put it is when my ex and I split up after 17 years and with two kids, you know, not a popular route to take, I said it was like releasing the sandbags that were keeping my balloon down, you know. So that relationship was great while it was great, and then it sort of ran its course, and everything after that was forced and wasn't working. And I think the same was true for him. We are both not only happier, but truly more powerful in the world, and having a greater impact in the things that are important to us. We're better parents, even separated, than we were married. So again, not popular, but sometimes it's more about what really works than what you thought it was going to be or what looks good on paper. That's for sure.
I want to say one caveat too is that just so people understand, I mean, my parents are still together after 58 years. So I'm not speaking from the point of view that all relationships are broken, therefore should be apart. I'm speaking from authentic. You know, I look at my parents and I kind of wish I could emulate them, yet I realize also what they have and what I have ever had, and I know that is the way they're meant to be. So I'm sure it's very clear that divorce is not like the only answer or the way out all the time.
Right.
It's, again, it's being authentic in relationship. And it's a very interesting question, because we may say, oh, it's easier to choose out, I'll be separate now.
Right.
Because I'm not willing to do the work.
Right.
So it's got to be down to authentic choice, where a separation is done from a place of peace, not from a place of againstness.
Right. From a place of love, not from a place of retaliation. You know?
Exactly.
My parents are still married too. And let's see, I guess they've been married for 43 years. But my parents did it a little differently, and I grew up in a different environment. And I think some of it has to do with just era. You know, there was a time when your life's purpose was to have dinner on the table at a certain time and, you know, feel proud or have pride around keeping the house clean and nurturing a family and supporting your husband. And that truly was somebody's purpose, and they were happy to do it. Now we have, it's a little more complex. We have other goals and are driven by other purposes. And so I think we're a little more independent than we were, you know, back in the 40s or 50s, a little more likely to take a stand for something that we want. So ultimately, maybe a little less agreeable. So things are definitely different. But what happened in my parents' situation is that when I was about, I would say 4 or 5, my parents actually split up. They separated. They both were dating other people. And it was amicable and friendly and supportive. But that was what happened. And it was inside of those actions and dating other people that they both came to the conclusion that they truly did want to be together, and came back around, and have been together ever since. So, and are more in love now than ever before. So there are people who also think that, trial separations are just an excuse, or that there's no validity to it. But in my experience, it actually was what had my parents really recalibrate their priorities and choose each other all over again.
It's almost like the absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
You know, phrase, but the truth is it doesn't mean that sometimes.
Right. But you have to be careful, again, because you don't want to exit a relationship under the, you know, pretense that absence makes the heart grow fonder. See, again, it all has to be authentic.
Right.
It can't be strategic. And
exactly.
There's a very big difference. Strategy has its place. but not so much in relationships.
The master plan, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So many experts, myself included, have really honed their craft from, you know, their own less than perfect experiences. How did you come to become a relationship guide? Are there any juicy stories around that? I mean, we talked a little bit about it, but I'm just wondering how it's impacted your relationships.
Well, my dysfunctional relationships, you want to those exposed? I could mention.
Well, tell me something. You can tell me something that didn't work and then tell me what you were able to extract from it that helped you, you know, so that other people can identify and go, oh, wow, you know, nobody's perfect. We've all got our issues. And here's a way to, you know, I had a guest on the other day who has a book called Lemons into Margaritas. So how to turn lemons into margaritas. Forget the lemonade.
Right. Looking back at my past relationship, there have definitely been a repeat pattern happened a few times, which again is one of the things I've learned from, where I would be with somebody and really it was more her choice more than my choice to actually come into the relationship. She was the one that started initiating more of it than I was, especially the last time I was in a relationship, she basically took, was very proactive. I'll be polite about it.
Okay.
And that made for, and frankly, for me, I was very excited by that. It was a very interesting and very joyful experience. At the same time, I had no control. At least not that I really honored. I pretended I did, but I was playing along because I enjoyed it. And I sacrificed my own integrity, my self-esteem, not because of her, because of me. I'm not blaming her for any of this.
Right.
Because she really showed me, because she was looking for what she wanted was a man that would then take over her and dominate her in the sexual level, not to be a bully, but to be a master and a masculine ravisher, as it were.
Right.
And I danced with that, but I didn't take it on because she seemed to be taking charge and being her directive. I didn't feel comfortable there because I wasn't owning my own power, my own truth. And the trick is for men, and one thing I want to talk about a little bit, is there's a difference between masculine and macho. And I'm very aware, having been through both sides, that a lot of the men in the world are tied into the macho way of being, which is the male model, strong role with no heart, with no openness, with no growth.
Mm.
But the masculine is one who's got an open heart and a strong backbone and spine and really has a sense of who they are. And they come from this authentic power that has the ability to be very compassionate as well.
I can see the difference.
Yeah.
So there's an absence of the heart element. When somebody's being macho, it's really more, it kind of goes back to strategy versus authenticity. Somebody probably wouldn't be authentically macho. They might be strategically
macho. Ego, I'll say one thing. Your masculine comes from the heart. Macho comes from the ego. That would be the best way of describing it for me.
Okay, sure. I get it. I would imagine that relationship was able to show you, okay, there are elements of this that work for me that I do like, but here's where it didn't work. And then we can take the piece that does work and then make sure that we also create boundaries around the parts that didn't work so that we don't repeat that pattern. We can take the good, but we can shift it, tweak it so that we have, you know, when we try on the next one, we know that we're not a size whatever. We can try something different.
Well, the piece at the end of that relationship, which is the piece that triggered everything that happened in the last 4 years for me, was she basically told me who she wanted in a relationship, which was a model based on her grandfather. And I saw in my mind who that was and realized how far away from it I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that really put me into a tailspin briefly for about a month, but then it really clearly coincided me. I needed to find that piece for me that was authentic. Excuse me. Within 3 months, I met somebody who took me to an event where I learned I found my teacher, and he was somebody who really showed me the way and then opened up my own gift. And what I'm really clearly got for me, especially as a man, is one thing I add, which is not part of the original conversation, but for the masculine, the difficulty in life sometimes is that you do relationship first, and the masculine first priority is purpose.
Mm.
The masculine's first role is to have a meaningful legacy, a way of being on the planet that leaves a gift, that is a way of being done, so that when we're finished on the world, we say, yes, I succeeded in what I was intending, I can leave satisfied. And then relationship can come with that or suck into that, but not before it. And I did the relationship first so many times, I made her my purpose, which was great for about 3 weeks when she lost attention. And then
right.
She'd go, where's the guy in my direction and clarity?
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's a really great sort of bit of content to leave this conversation with too, because it's a good starting place to really start to take a look at who you are in your real, true, authentic self, and then you'll find somebody to match that rather than trying to fulfill somebody else's because yours is wobbly and undefined. You know,
right.
So in addition to working with couples, you also work with singles, and you have something called The Circle for women only. I want to tell people real quickly, because we only have a couple minutes left, where they can find out more about that. And I want to make sure I get this right. Is it at matchmagnetics.com/circle with a capital C dot HTML? Is that right?
That's the program for women. That is a question and answers about romance, relationships, and men. Yes.
Nice. Okay. And I'll say that again. It's matchmagnetics.com/circle with a capital C dot HTML. And Barry also does private coaching. For more information about that, you can always send him an email at Barry@matchmagnetics.com. We have like a minute left, but I want to see if you can answer this question in a minute. It's a question that came in, and I think it's perfect for you. I think I'm good at balance, but how do I balance being the boss at work and more feminine at home? What would you tell somebody in 30 seconds or less? No pressure.
It's easy. You basically be authentic in both places. When you're in leadership roles, you demonstrate leadership by speaking from your heart, from your core, from your strength. When your relationship, your partner, you give them some of the work, you can relax back into feminine. There's a lot more to it than that, but in a minute you want to that's a good starting point.
That was good. That was fantastic. And I would agree. I think it's just all about kind of dipping into what's authentic for you. And there are definitely things that work for us that maybe don't work for other people. And so the trick is to really know who you are and what works for you. And part of how you'll do that is to try stuff out, and it doesn't work. And that's okay too. You know, I have a chapter that I'm working on in my book called Dare to Suck. And I love it because it really gives you permission to try and fail. And that's okay, good. Now I know that that doesn't work. You know, well, Barry, thank you so much for sharing your insights and ideas and for doing what you do to contribute to helping women and to helping couples create healthy and balanced relationships. Thanks again, Barry.
My pleasure. Thank you, Elena.
You bet. Well, our time is just about up, but you can stay connected with me at my site, bringbackthatspark.com. Thanks for listening to Naked Talk Radio. Let's get naked again tomorrow.